for you on the website at am760.net if you need a quick laugh and to be reminded. By the way, Paris has been quoted now by people saying, "Ooh, I had so much fun doing it for Funny and Lies, and ooh, I had such a good time." And I just want you to know, though, I'm going to bring Tinkerbell to the White House. I have to tell you, after I walked out of here yesterday, I went to the chiropractor because I have been resolving some sciatic issues that I have, because one of my legs is apparently getting a little shorter than the other one. Dang it. So anyway, we're working it out with his activator. But he's really funny. He's from Long Island, and he talks really fast. And he's like, "What do you think of Britney? Have you forgiven her?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I have, actually. I have. We've all forgiven. We have Britney. Paris. Sorry, Britney. Paris. Sorry, Britney. Sorry, Paris. Sorry. Oops. I've forgiven Paris." Then I said, "You know, I've even forgiven her jail." He goes, "Oh, my God, I forgot. She went to jail." I was like, "Yeah, I know." But everyone was talking about it. Everybody in the waiting room, the people in the waiting to go in, the receptionist was talking about it. We were all just giggling about Paris Hilton all day. That woman has done more to restore her reputation in the 48 hours since all of this came down the pike than ever before. You know, and yes, she did send it to the website monitored by, well, I think started by one of them was Will Ferrell and Adam, somebody else's name I could never remember. But it's just very cool. Very cool. Brava. And, oh, I was mistaken yesterday. She wasn't wearing a bikini. She's wearing a sculpted one piece. Very sexy. Very sexy. At least I think it's a one piece. It might have a button, but I don't think so. All right, here's the thing. We have so much to talk about today. I had something happen last night I must tell you about, and I will do that in just a minute. I also want to remind you that today in history, we are marking the anniversary of the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution, which gave President Johnson broad powers in dealing with the North Vietnamese attacks. We ought to all be thinking about that today in terms of war, war, war no more. I'm going to talk about some lighthearted and fun things, but I'm also going to talk about some searing and sad things. And I don't know, is it on the fun category, is it good that we have LaVon Hernandez? I don't know. I think it could be good. I hope so. 1998, Al-Qaeda set off bombs in the U.S. embassies in Nairobi, Kenya, and Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, and killed 224 people, including 12 Americans, injuring more than 5,500. And as some note, it is one of the first shot of the jihad launched against the United States, or one of them anyway, by Osama bin Laden. Now, it's also the day in history, the anniversary of when Al Gore selected Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman. Gosh, I bet you that's one decision he wishes he could take back to be his vice presidential candidate. Ugh. And he picked him principally because he scolded President Clinton. I'm not sorry that a Jewish American was selected to be vice president of the United States, but I am sorry that Joe Lieberman has turned out to be such a raging disappointment. And a Boulder, Coloradan was the first to unhurl, a protest banner in China, this one to free Tibet, even though the Dalai Lama has been making some compromising notes with the Chinese government in terms of talking about communist rule. Four people unfurled a huge banner proclaiming freedom for Tibet in both English and Chinese. So we'll try to bring you some information about that as well. And the pastor of that Kentucky church that was shot up and where two people died and lost their lives thanks to a right-winger who read a lot of Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh is decrying, said words by Hannity and Limbaugh and others on the right wing, which encourage people to violence. He said, well, I won't put words in his mouth. I'll tell you what he says coming up. He says, what is the difference between, he said, you might say the words you choose may be the difference between war and peace. He says he believes in the power of dehumanizing language. I believe in rigorous debate, said the Reverend Buse. But what's the difference between a political opponent and a cockroach? You stomp a cockroach. You debate a political opponent. I believe if you truly listen to your opponent, it will make you better. And so he obviously is going after these right-wing, the Reverend Chris Buse is still trying to collect his thoughts, but he says he's very disappointed in the right-wing writings that helped inspire the crazy, well, I think he's crazy, Jim David Addison, Atkinson, who interrupted the Sunday morning service with his shotgun, killing two. And he aimed his remarks at talk show host Michael Savage, Fox News personalities Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity. I'm the one, I guess, who included Limbaugh, but I will include Limbaugh in any of that because he's so freaking awful in terms of dehumanizing. He's been bashing Obama a lot, and it makes me say, I have to turn it off. I just have to turn him off. Now, I live close to a neighborhood where there is an annual event, and I had heard about it yesterday on the radio, and I knew that it was going to start principally at 9 p.m., so I knew I couldn't attend, but I thought I'd walk in that neighborhood and see the warm-up. So I found myself with Pedro, my small 12-pound terrier in the neighborhood, and I was walking around this lake where every year on the anniversary of the attacks on Japan with the atomic bomb that the United States had to launch to end World War II, Harry Truman felt, we walked by and the gathering of people, all kinds of different backgrounds and ethnicities, sizes and shapes and ages, and some had dogs and some didn't. People of all colors, all religions, listened to Japanese flute being played, listened to the sounds of chanting, and then painted lanterns. Everyone paints a lantern or gets a lantern and in Japanese or in other languages paints a symbol of a word that they would like to inspire and to memorialize. And then they launch these small little boats of lanterns. The little lanterns make small little tiny boats. They're square and they have paper sides, sort of like a luminaria. And then they float the luminarias out on the lake. And it's quite a sight. I've seen that part of it in past years. This year I sort of watched the warm-up because of my time constraints and because if I don't get any sleep, then I can't talk to you. But here's what I saw. I'm walking up to it, you know, and I'm thinking thoughts about war and about why we need to end war. And I'm also watching my dog and having a good time because he's so cheerful. He has this great little face. And so he's walking along and he's sniffing the sides of the lake and this really tall, big man comes out of nowhere. And sometimes that can scare you, having a guy come up on you. But he bent down and he just started to pat Pedro. Sometimes as a dog owner, you feel like, hey, what are you doing? You know, because, you know, ask permission to touch my dog. But there was something about the gentle way that this big, strong boy of maybe, I'm calling him a boy, he was a young man. He was probably 23, 24, 20, somewhere around there. Maybe he looked very young, and I later realized he had to be a little older than that probably, but anyway, or maybe not. But anyway, he bends down and he starts petting the dog and he goes, and he's talking really fast. I had a dog like this. He just died. And then he looks at me and I realize he has the most china blue eyes I've ever seen. He has a really short haircut and he has long hair in the front. And I think, wow, that's kind of an odd haircut. And it struck me and I realized his eyes were this like bright china blue, just gorgeous. And I'm like, wow, this kid has got the best looking eyes. I mean, just very light blue, pale blue, but just radiant eyes. And he's petting my dog and he's going, I had a dog like this. He lived 22 years. And I said, well, that's great, you know? And he said, 22 years he lived. He just died. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. And he looked at me and he stood up and he goes, I don't want any more dying. And I went, okay. He goes, I just got back from Afghanistan. I was like, oh, and we started to walk together. And he said, just got back from Afghanistan. He said, been there for a year and a half. I want war no more. I don't want any more war. I don't need any more war. I'm coming home for peace. I said, well, good for you. I'm glad you came home safely. He goes, yeah, 35 guys in boot camp. I'm paraphrasing only a little. He says, 35 of us in boot camp, 17 are dead. 10 are without their limbs. got real bad hurt, two paralyzed completely for life, and six of us, relatively okay. And I was just, I had no words. I couldn't speak. This child man keeps walking, and he's walking. He's got that kind of shuffling gait of a young guy, you know what I mean? With his pants are too big, and they're kind of baggy pants, and he has a t-shirt on, and he's just walking kind of fast. He's loping, really, and I'm keeping up with him with Pedro, his blue jeans and a t-shirt. And I wanted to stop him and ask him. I thought about asking him to be on the radio, but something, I just couldn't ask him. There was something too private about his grief, and I said, well, Afghanistan at least was, he mentioned again that he had come from Afghanistan, I believe, or else I had said it earlier. I said, well, wasn't Afghanistan a righteous part of the war? He said, oh, yeah, Afghanistan was easier, a year and a half, I was there, that was easier. I was in Iraq 3 years, long silence. And I guess it was after that he told me about 35 of us in boot camp, 17 dead, 10 without limbs, 2 paralyzed completely. Six of us, relatively okay. And so when I came upon that peace demonstration about a war long ago and far away, before my birth, before maybe yours, before our times, where we mark in peace and friendship and try to realize that we never want war anymore, I thought of that young man loping ahead of me, grabbing peace information from the various groups that were out to proclaim peace, to rail against the U.S. government's efforts in Iraq. And something he said else struck me. I don't want any more wars for oil. No more wars for oil. So on this day, when we also mark the dead of Dar es Salaam and in Tanzania, we should think about that young man. We should think about him as we mark the dead of the people in Nairobi, Kenya, as we think about the Gulf of Tonkin resolution, all anniversaries of which fell on this day. We should think about war no more, war no more. I thought about asking him to be on the radio, but I could not. His grief was too private. I thought about asking him, Army, Marines, which? But I couldn't ask him any more questions. Let him unpack his grief. Let him show the sorrow of those eyes. What I will remember about him is the gentleness with which he patted my dog, his big hands almost covering my 12-pound dog's entire body. Pat, 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 pat. Missing his dog, who had just died, possibly while he was serving our country overseas. And then I think about George Bush, and I think about Ron Suskind's book, The Way of the World. And I don't want The Way of the World to be about war anymore. I don't want The Way of the World to be about a vice president of the United States who took us to war, who lied and fabricated and made up evidence and fabricated letters from Iraqi intelligence, allegedly, so that they could perpetrate a war and excuse themselves for conducting a war for oil, a war for oil. That young man will see the deaths of his comrades on his eyelids for the rest of his life. And those are the people who are coming home. Without a lot of fanfare, without a lot of hoopla, we can't even watch the bodies of the 17 who served beside him who are now dead, coming home from this war. And that is wrong. That is wrong. We must know the full extent of this. We must. And on a day when Pervez Musharraf is being brought up on charges of impeachment in Pakistan, but we can't get a huge and thoroughgoing investigation in this country of the crimes that George Bush and Dick Cheney have committed, I think perhaps House Speaker Nancy Pelosi should reevaluate her considerations of the future and begin and launch investigations. Because that young man deserves no less. That young man deserves for the rest of us to know just how badly we were misled, so that he had to go and fight and see unspeakable things and watch his friends and buddies die and know that 2 of them are paralyzed for life and that 10 of them have lost their limbs. It is 3:03. 713-7600. I know this is a searing way to begin the day, but I could begin it no other way. After running into that young man on the anniversary memorialization in the park last night for the people, and I came home, and the only thing I could think of to do was to light a candle and say Kaddish. It's 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in for J. Marvin. War no more, war no more. And as we're concerned about the economy, and as we're debating about elections, and as we're laughing at Paris Hilton, because that's okay too, I'm sure that young man would laugh also, but we must remember that this war and how we got here, and we must say to ourselves, war no more, war no more. 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on the J. Marvin Show. It's 6:22 in the morning. I would love to hear from you on AM 760, Progressive Talk. Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Good morning. Thank you all for joining me. J. Marvin's taking the week off. I'm filling in. I'm very happy to do so with you. 303-713-7600. As Bush makes his way across, he scolded the Chinese today from Thailand. And if you read his speech, pretty much saying, oh, let freedom of the press reign, let protest reign, be better with human rights. I feel like hurling his entire speech in his face and saying, do you ever read these things? And, oh, by the way, do you read your presidential daily briefs? Because on 7 years ago yesterday, you didn't even really look at one that Condoleezza Rice gave you, Secretary of State, now I'll call her Condi, that Condi gave you, saying Osama bin Laden determined to attack the United States. I wonder what would have happened to that young man and his comrades if you had actually bothered to do your job as President of the United States that day rather than just slough off in Crawford. Now you've become the most traveled president. It's too bad you never really learned anything on your travels, my friend. Gosh, what a... Worst president ever, and now lower than even Jimmy Carter. He is right in Nixonian territory, Hoover-esque, 25%. But we can't impeach him. Tim in Aurora, welcome to AM 760 Progressive Talk.
How are you?
I am well. That young man really shook me up and should have shaken us all up.
Well,
last night.
You brought tears to my eyes, and for me, this is whatever, the economy, energy, whatever. To me, these wars, the occupation is still the number one issue for me. These kids are doing multiple tours. I'm a Vietnam-era vet. I had friends who went. I've made friends with guys who were there. They did one tour, and most of the men that I know who were there don't even want to talk about it. That's one tour. And these kids are being sent back over and over, and it's over a freaking lie. And as far as I'm concerned, George Bush is a war criminal and Dick Cheney, and they should be held accountable for that. It just makes me insane. These kids will never be the same.
No, and he was... He broke off talking to me, and I realized that I wasn't sure whether he could take much more contact with somebody because he just poured out his heart to me with very little. I mean, all I said to him really was, I'm out here to beat the heat. He said, how are you doing? How are you doing? And I said, oh, I'm just out here to beat the heat. And that's when he really started just speaking from his heart. And I don't know what, maybe it was Pedro that inspired him to speak up. But it was just like, I still really don't know what to say, except this has got to stop. I understood Afghanistan, and he understood Afghanistan. He can understand Afghanistan. But Iraq is, and then now they're making what, $48 billion? What is the amount of money that they are going to, it's $79 billion. They've gotten a surplus, and they can't even be bothered to spend their own money to rebuild their country? I mean, stop.
13 hotels, the biggest embassy in the world. This is just, it is so wrong. And how these people, if they're allowed to walk away from this administration, they're lawless, they have no, the rule of law was a Republican mantra. Where has that gone to?
Oh, it's
what happened to the Constitution? These people are going to walk away with no penalty, and that's just that is so wrong.
No, you cannot.
Comprehension.
You can't have it. That young man deserves more. You know, and I don't know.
Absolutely.
I did not have a conversation with him about impeachment. Maybe he would feel differently. But he just said, "War no more. I can't." He goes, "I'm here to have peace," and I just. You know, he was so big and tall. I don't know if he had been smaller, I might have tried to hug him. But you know, being 5'2" myself, it would have been silly. But he just, and maybe even invasive and not fair. That would have made me feel better. I wasn't sure how to make him feel better. And I just hope he gets the kind of counseling he needs. I hope he gets the help he needs, because knowing that 17 people who you went through one of the most searing experiences ever, which is boot camp, right? I have not been through boot camp, but you have. I mean, to lose half of the people that you were in boot camp with.
You can't explain that to somebody who hasn't. I mean,
no.
If you haven't been in the military, you don't know, you don't understand the camaraderie, and you don't understand what it's all about. And,
can you explain something to me? I was thinking about this the other day. You know, the military is sort of quasi-socialist entity, right? Because I mean, very hierarchical, very, you know, you top down, orders coming from the top. But very communal. And yet people come out of the military and become these extreme right-wing reactionaries who want to say survival of the fittest and individualists. And I've always thought one of the things about the military that was the best part about it is the camaraderie.
Oh, it absolutely was. I mean, you that's all you had, really.
Yeah.
That's all you had. And even as much as I did not enjoy being in the military, I was going to be drafted, so I signed. When I got out, when it was my time to get out, it was just an odd feeling. I'm going to leave my friends.
I know, and then all the people who can actually talk to you about it, because there really is, you know, I'm involved with a group where you know, we're all of like mind, and we work to help each other, let's say. And other people, or normies, as we call them, don't necessarily understand it. And so that need to have people to talk to, I fully understand that part of it. But the kinds of horrors he's seen, I've seen some rough stuff in my time as a reporter, but I've never seen anything like that, man.
You can't comprehend second year of life, when
nothing.
You're in combat zone.
That you're in danger of being killed at any
given
moment, particularly in this war. With,
absolutely.
You know, you fought the first modern, you know, sort of insurgency kind of war of the United States, I guess Korea too, but... that was still more of a formalized, mechanized war. This kind of war, which is also urban in nature, had to be totally terrifying to fight.
I just want to say, for all Americans, I understand. I mean, I suffer with this economy now, but you're not there. Whatever struggles you have here, you're not there. So
Understood.
Consider yourself lucky and think about those people.
Thank you very much for your call.
Thanks.
It's 303-713-7600. I think we need to talk about war some more. I think we do. I think the economy's in trouble. Paris Hilton is hilarious, but you know, there are some times where we have to talk about these things. We'll also talk about the Olympics. Be thinking about what has been your moment of triumph and what has been the agony of defeat. 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on the J. Marvin Show this morning. It's 303-713-7600 and time for Colorado's Progressive Traffic with John Turk. This is Aaron Hart on AM 760, Progressive Talk. Good morning. We're talking about war no more. 500 people have died in the Afghan war. I just saw it's a deadly U.S. milestone. It is getting worse over there, although the young man I spoke to last night in the peace event at the park talked about how he understood Afghanistan, but he was never going back for a war about oil anymore in Iraq. It's just shivering went down my spine. This kid, one of six of his unit, 35 in his unit, to come home, as he put it, relatively okay. Bill in Denver, Thank you for joining us on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron. I've got first of all, I want to say thank you for sharing that story, and I also want to say thank you to your previous caller, because I think he's right on. But you're a reporter, and I am more than curious. I'm kind of driven, trying to figure out why no reporter has researched, followed the money, researched how much the Rumsfeld, Cheney, Bush, and Rice and Roe families have made on this war, directly, indirectly, through all their investments in Halliburton and Raytheon and all the defense industries.
I think a lot of them have blind trust, so nobody can get in them right now, I don't think. But I have seen some, certainly some stuff on Truth Out and other liberal websites. I've seen a number of articles about how the war profiteering, I mean, Halliburton, Blackwater, all of those guys are making money hand over fist, more money than they've ever made. I mean, it's just, it's scary how much they have profiteered. But war profiteering, we should be having hearings on it. I'm with you. We should be having, and some of this is the Congress, and I don't know why, you know, if Nancy Pelosi says she was afraid she couldn't get the more conservative Democrats to go along with her if she had impeached Bush, and that she didn't want the focus to be that because she wants to establish a permanent majority, you know, sort of like Rovian majority. You know, rather than a permanent majority of anybody, I'd just rather see Democrats and Republicans elected who could work to get our problem solved. That's what I would ideally like. But because that doesn't seem to be possible with a lot of the polarization of this country, then I say elect a mix of conservative and liberal Democrats and let us fight it out and run the country for a while, because we can't possibly do any worse than has been done the past 7 years. But to go back to your question, I would just Google some articles about war profiteering, because I have seen a lot of it. And there are, what is that book that's recently come out by, is it Naomi Klein, who wrote the book about war and capitalism, I believe. So there are people working on it.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And your point of getting both sides of the aisle to work together,
mm-hmm.
if there's no accountability, I don't think that'll ever happen.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think, and this is part of the problem of not having hearings. You know, as I was watching those hearings that were held recently, in the House about, you know, the ones that Dennis Kucinich wants. And I realized I'm watching this on C-SPAN. I'll bet you, you know, there are about maybe, let's be optimistic, a million of us across the country watching this. How many people, you know, when I was a kid, one of the, just like my nephew, the landmark event of his life so far has been 9/11 and the war in Iraq, you know, as a small child. Mine was the war in Vietnam, culminated by, as a teenager, watching the hearings, the Watergate hearings. You know what I mean? And saying, oh, my God, look what's happening. Look what they're doing.
Yeah, you're right. Aaron, thank you very much for taking my call. Have a good day.
You're welcome. But you see, when you had Bill in Denver and others, when you had those hearings, when you could come home and watch our democracy in action on TV, it made you think about it. When you could watch a war on television, when you could see children napalmed, I'm not trying to be gross, but when you had to face the consequences of your energy policies. You know, this has been Energy Week on the campaign trail. It's also been Paris Hilton Week on the campaign trail. And maybe to lighten us all up later in the hour, I'll play... Let's play, when we come back from break, John, let's play the Paris Hilton video just to cheer us all up with all this warfare talk. But, you know, because I don't want to make this a bitter pill. I want to salt it, so to speak, with some sugar. But, you know, this has been Energy Week on the campaign trail, and this is part of how we got into Iraq. It was not only that he wanted revenge for Daddy, although I think that figured into George Bush's motivations. Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney, since they have been in government service, have been aiming to take over the executive branch and turn it into a power base. Because speaking of Richard Nixon and the war and all of that, they were horrified by what happened to Richard Nixon. They were freaked out that he could be running the country as a good monarch should do, break laws, commit crimes, and not get away with it. They were stunned when they went after him with the, and I can't remember what John Dean cited as the number in the law that talks about There's a law that says that you will not use your position in government to commit crimes, that you will not use it to for your own personal lucre, that you won't use it in order to accomplish your goals in government by violating the rights and laws of the United States. And that's how most of the Watergate boys went down. So that and the fact that there were, thank goodness he was stupid enough to tape himself. And but we can't even get access to Karl Rove's emails. We can't get access to Dick Cheney's emails. We have David Addington dripping with sarcasm testifying before the United States Congress saying, I don't have to obey the executive branch. We're not even part of the executive branch. Excuse me, since when has the vice president not been part of the executive branch? No matter how much you try to distort logic with that one, forget it. But we have them dripping with sarcasm telling us, oh, no, we don't have to obey the law. We own you. We control you. You know, I still want to know what meetings Dick Cheney had with all those highfalutin oil companies. I bet they included ExxonMobil. Yes, they did. Who made record billions, $11.68 billion in one quarter. Not 1 year, one quarter of, quote unquote, work. So this has, you know, when this first started, Afghanistan, I understood, was going after the Taliban. And if we had gone after Osama bin Laden and actually killed or captured him, then I would have understood it even better. Then it would have been honorable. But what we did, he did, was basically use that as a way to get in, mollify some people. But it was, they were really always planning. September 12th, they started talking about going into Iraq. We have it. We know it. And the American people know it. That's why George W. Bush has a 25% record. Unfortunately, now that some of the books are coming out, it's like most of us believe they lied their faces off to us anyway. So when we get proof, hi, they put it out on cream-colored stationery. They were making it look like the head of the Iraqi intelligence was writing letters saying, yeah, oh, yeah, Al-Qaeda's in Iraq. Yeah, yeah, that's it. By the way, they paid him millions of dollars. That seems to be our solution in Iraq. If we can't win, can't put enough troops in the first place to win the war, I know, we'll put in finally, after 5 years, 6 years, an effective counterinsurgency, which is what they call the surge. It's really about, they changed their tactics. They just started protecting the Iraqi people. This sounds so ludicrous when I say it out loud. It's like, wait, excuse me, you had to change your strategy to protect the Iraqi people? You actually had to make an effort to do that? You didn't realize that protecting them from the beginning? But then I remember when sitting in as a talk show host, filling in for the morning guy up here, and I'm sitting here going, oh, filling in for Dave Ross, and I'm looking up at the screen, and I'm watching the rioting begin in the earliest days of the war, and I think the message we are sending to to Al-Qaeda, to Osama bin Laden in whatever cave he's in Waziristan, and to everyone else in the known universe, is the United States is too weak to control a country it just invaded by choice. Oh, God. I'm sitting there talking about it. People are calling me up, right-wingers are calling me up saying, how dare you talk about that? How dare you say? And it's like, excuse me, we have just shown the world that we're weak. This is very bad planning. This is very stupid. We are doing exactly what Colin Powell always warned us about. We went in with too few troops, and we didn't define the mission. And Tommy Franks will have to pay for that on his eyelids for the rest of his natural life. You know, I want George Bush to have to sit down with that kid I saw last night in the park. I want him to have to debrief him. I want he and Dick Cheney brought up on charges, just like Hamdan, and see how they like being tried by a military court with secret evidence presented against them. What if they could say, okay, hi, here's the secret evidence. Here's the CIA telling you flat out no weapons of mass destruction. Oh, I know, I don't want to hear that. Let's tuck it in a drawer. I don't want to hear that. That confounds my stated goal, which is to go after terrorists. But I'm really going after oil wells. Well, that's apparently working, because apparently Iraq's making $79 billion in a surplus. But they didn't even, they have now adjourned for recess without electing a provincial government. So where are we now, folks? In the Bush administration? Where are we now? And I'm using the word folks deliberately. Folks in the Bush administration. Where are we, huh? Just what in the world have we accomplished? 303-713-7600. We're going to have to send more troops to Afghanistan because Al-Qaeda went back there, said, oh, hi. And Pervez Musharraf, who his government is calling to account, we don't know whether he'll actually be impeached, but two of his parties voted today and said, you know what? Impeach this guy. Impeach him. But we can't even get an investigation going that thoroughly discusses war profiteering and the kinds of crimes that were committed in prosecuting a war perpetrated by two men, who thought, or three or four, and a woman who thought it was a good idea. Because we'll be able to control the universe. They control nothing now. 303-713-7600. Yes, he still runs the most powerful nation on Earth. I'm aware of all of that. But it is just, he is so impotent. He has rendered us impotent on the stage of diplomacy and democracy in the world. And that just annoys me down to my bone marrow. 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760, Progressive Talk. I would love to talk to you. And we're working on getting the pastor in Kentucky to speak about his ire about the words. We're also going to talk. T. Boone Pickens has been in Colorado. We might talk about him this morning as well. And be thinking about what has been the light of, you know, your Olympic torch in your life versus the agony of defeat. We'll also be talking about that today and tomorrow right here on the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760 Progressive Talk. This hour's topic, and probably all throughout the day, war no more. War no more. 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on the Jay Marvin Show on 760 Progressive Talk. Time to check in with John Turk in traffic. Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM 760 Progressive Talk. This is the Jay Marvin Show. I'm filling in this week. I'll be back with you tomorrow as well. The Olympics start tomorrow, and I have to say I'm not very enthusiastic. I'm sort of like this every time, though, and then I see the opening ceremony, and I feel connected to my fellow beings all across the planet. But I don't want it to interrupt a discussion of the issues. I really don't. Maybe we all need a break, though. I don't know. I'm so upset by so much that's going on in the world. I feel like the compulsive need to follow it all the time these days. Dave in Centennial, welcome to AM 760 Progressive Talk. Good morning.
How you doing, Aaron?
Pretty swell.
All right. I just wanted to touch on a few things you're covering today. It is more people need to stop and think about everyone that has given a lot for the country and, you know, what's turning Bush's buddies.
And how many millions of people have died in this century and last? I mean, just this early century. But, you know, when you think about all the conflicts around the world, it just becomes overwhelming, doesn't it? It's like, why do we do this?
Well, I know we have enough problems now with our weather and other things, and just we shouldn't be making war amongst ourselves. But what's worse, and when you look, too, at what's happening to our people in Iraq for, you know, basically war profiteering, and then what's happening at home, everything.
They can get electrocuted.
And foreclosures, the people were suffering overseas, were suffering here, and these people right here, it's not even that are doing it. It's more they're following their little plan, and they're not paying attention to we're just pawns, basically.
Yeah. No, but, you know, pawns can trip up a game in chess, so maybe we should remember that.
Oh, yeah, the pawns are starting to figure it out. People are waking up. even Channel 12 last night had the movie Freedom to Fascism.
Wow.
Now, everyone should watch it. Everybody should see Iraq for Sale. They should look at,
I haven't seen that yet. You're right, Iraq for Sale, absolutely.
Yeah, you sit there and people that don't even know anything about politics or anything come out of watching that movie just livid.
Yeah.
People are just totally upset. But again, it's happening overseas. It's happening here. War is being played out against the American people in many shapes and forms. And
Well, and even though people, the Republicans are trying to laugh at it and make him seem like a European effete, you know, that's one reason why 200,000 people turned out for Barack Obama, is because the entire planet wants this to change.
Oh, yeah. People are, they recognize now that we've got to change or we're going to perish. Where are we going? Where are we going with this right now? With losing our citizens over there in Iraq, private armies come, private security firms like Blackwater, they're...
Oh, the mercenaries.
Even
the mercenaries.
Even,
go ahead.
Cheney has signed on to this Revolution in Military Affairs, which is going to this Blackwater private security type armies. They're allowing our military to be decimated.
And KBR that suggests that, you know, constructs showers where people can get electrocuted. I mean, it's
well,
like,
of course.
Ah!
And then in Iraq for sale, most of the jobs that the military people were doing were being taken over by private contractors.
Exactly.
The people that were supposed to be repairing radios and working on things like that, their jobs were given to private...
Where they could get training that would might stand them in good stead in private life instead of, you know, oh, hi, here's 40 grand, you know, if you qualify for the Army bonus. See you, bye.
Right. And I mean, and you know, and if you're... me and Jay go around with this off and on, but if you're... I don't for a second believe that they didn't know 9/11 was coming and they just have utilized it.
I think that they knew that Osama was determined to attack the United States. I think they knew some things, but I don't think that they let I don't think they would let the attack go down like that.
There's a lot of signals that they knew in 2000 when Bush was at the G8 summit in Genoa, Italy.
Mm-hmm.
They knew that they had to move his sleeping quarters because for fear of an airplane being flown into the building.
But
that
was in 2001. That couldn't have been 2000 because Bush hadn't been elected yet.
The summit was in 2000, I believe.
Bush hadn't. That's okay. Thank you, Dave. I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760 Progressive Talk. Wes and Rollins, I want to get to you in Wyoming. I'm sorry. Please hold on during the break if you can, or call back in the early hour. I'll put you on first thing, Wes. I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm filling in for Jay Marvin on this show, and we'll be back after the news. Stand by.